Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue on our study of commentaries on the Quran. Let me remind you that we just began in our last program, chapter 9, which is by the title, Notes Concerning the Revelation of the Quran and the Hadith. And obviously, first we're going to be studying the notes from the Quran concerning the revelation of the Quran. Then we will be studying the notes from the Hadith concerning the revelation of the Quran. We already covered the first three notes, and let me remind you, the first note concerning the revelation of the Quran is that Muhammad used to forget some of that which was revealed to him. The second important note was Muhammad used to rush, hurry himself, move his tongue to quickly say the word of Allah, the verses of the Quran. As for the third important note was that the people were able to seduce Muhammad from the revelation, and he was about to fall into their sedition. Today we'll continue with notes number 4, which is Muhammad was able to leave some of that which was revealed to him. And that is what we read in Quran chapter 11 and verse 12. For there Allah said, so perhaps you are leaving some of what is being revealed to you, and your chest is stressed by it, that they say, were it not that kins, which is a non-Arabic word, means treasure from the Persian Aramaic origin, were it is not that a treasure had been sent down on him or an angel come with him, surely you are only a warner and Allah is guardian over all things. Wait a minute. I thought Muhammad is a prophet. I thought Muhammad is a messenger and he is the best of all. Why God, the God of the Bible, when he sent prophets before Muhammad, they perform great miracles. Why can't Muhammad do the same? Is a warner is the title of Muhammad now, which means he does not have to perform any miracles to prove his message as a messenger or to prove his warning as a warner? Does this make any sense to you? Obviously not. Muhammad was not a prophet. Muhammad was not a messenger. And the people of his days figure it out, because simply they know that prophets and messengers perform great miracles, and Muhammad performed nothing except his Quran, which we are destroying here in our study. In any way, in the teaching of the Makhshari, one of the great Muslim scholars, concerning that verse, he said that people used to suggest to Muhammad verses intransigence not to be guided, as these infidels transgress the Quran and they reject it. And this makes the chest of the messenger of Allah, Muhammad, tight, that he will give them the Quran, which they do not accept. And they used to laugh at him. That's why Allah removed Muhammad from the infidels and he provoked Muhammad to continue with his message. And he made him disregard their response and their mocking and their suggestions. So obviously, from reading Quran chapter 11 and verse 12, we know for sure that Muhammad was almost about rejecting his own Quran. He was about to leave the Quran because people were making fun of it. I do not see anywhere in the Bible where any of the writers of the Bible, those 40 men whom was guided by the Holy Spirit, when they wrote whatever they wrote as the Holy Spirit was leading them, somehow choose to reject it or put it aside because people did not accept it, because people mocked them, because people made fun of the message they were teaching. No, you will never see that anywhere from the true prophets, the true messenger of God in the Holy Bible. But that only happened with Muhammad, as we continue to look at what else Muhammad was doing in the Quran. And that is note number 5, that the Quran will give Muhammad a great way to change his position, because obviously, neither Allah nor Muhammad knew what is coming, what the future will bring, even though Allah in the Quran was described as to be all-knowing. But in reality, if Allah is all-knowing, He will not do that number five, which is the exchange of the verses of the Quran. That is when Allah gave a verse, and then that verse does not work the way Muhammad wanted to be. Therefore, Allah and Muhammad somehow replace that verse by another verse. Perhaps the new verse will help Muhammad to continue with his claiming to be the prophet of Allah in the Quran. And that is what we read in Quran chapter 16 and verse 101. For there we read, and if we, that is Allah Himself speaking, change one verse in a place of another verse, and Allah knows what He sent down. They said, surely you are only a forger. Yet most of them do not know. Once again, as we have shared that verse with you before in our last program, no, the people know exactly. They are not making a claim that Muhammad is a forger, because there is not one prophet, once again, in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, whoever wrote a command and in the same time he changed his mind and gave the opposite of that command. This only happened with Allah. The true God's word cannot be changed with another word. If the kings of the Bible could not change their words, how about God Almighty? And once again, if Allah knows that these verses which He's given to Muhammad will not do what they're supposed to do, why in the world does Allah give these verses to Muhammad to start with? Shouldn't Allah wait a minute, think about it, here is a new command, and He will see that, the people will not accept it, or it's going to be difficult and hard for the people, therefore I will not give that command in these verses to them? This is a big problem, my friends, because Muhammad told us, according to the writing of the Quran, that every word that is written in the Quran is already written in a guarded board. And that guarded board is guarded by Allah Himself, which means you cannot change words in the guarded board, or why you guard it to start with. If the Quran originally exists on the guarded board, you could not exchange a verse by another verse, because it means that the Quran was not written somewhere else. If the Quran was only orally spoken from Allah to Jibreel to Muhammad, then you can change some words and you can change some verses. But if the Quran is already written on a guarded board 50,000 years before Allah created Adam and Eve, so how in the world 50,000 plus some years after that, somehow Muhammad and Allah play this game of replacing verses by another verses in the Quran? That is a great evidence that Muhammad was a forger and the Quran cannot be the true word of God. And here we must ask the following question. Are the transcription and the abrogated verses both exist in the guarded board? Are the altered and the substitutes both together in the guarded board? And if that is the case, then how can we unite the contradiction of these verses together? And how can we put that with the wisdom of God and the infallibility of the Prophet? And what is so amazing is that if you look with me at the next note, which is number 6, you will find that Satan have a direct relationship with this change of the verses of the Quran. And that is what we read in Quran chapter 16 and verse 98. You see, in verse 101 of Quran chapter 16, we read, and if we exchange one verse in a place of another verse, and Allah knows what He sent down, they said, surely you are only a forger. But listen to what Allah said earlier in verse 98. And that is, so when you recite the Quran, Allah here speaking directly to Muhammad, so seek refuge with Allah from the stoned Satan. Wow. When you recite the Quran, seek refuge with Allah from the stoned Satan. So before Muhammad read the Quran from his mind or from his memory, he has to say, oh Allah, protect me from the devil. Why? Because the devil causes Muhammad to put the wrong verses in the wrong places, the wrong words in the wrong places, as we have seen that obviously in the satanic verses. That is when Muhammad praised the three gods of Christ, Allat, Al-Uzza, and Manat. These are words given by Satan to Muhammad, and he inserted it in the Quran, and he prayed with it as all the polytheists were celebrating that Muhammad mentioned their gods with good words, and they worshipped with him, Allah, by adding Allah to their gods. You see, that's why Allah gave Muhammad the direct command in verse 98 of Quran chapter 16. Always, Muhammad, always, before you recite the Quran, seek refuge with me against Satan, who may cause you to exchange some of the verses of the Quran by another verses, which are not from the Quran.
Muslims claim that the Quran is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through Muhammad. Islam challenges that upon reading the Quran, the seeker is at once convinced that it is the very word of Allah. Muslims declare that no mere man could have written such a perfect collection of verses, covering a wide variety of topics, events, and doctrines. Within the pages of the Quran, one will find familiar events and people such as the creation, the flood, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. But even the casual reader will notice distinct and striking differences between the Quranic and the much older biblical accounts of the same topics. Muslim apologists will contend that it is the Bible which has been corrupted. The Straight Wave Grace Ministry is pleased to announce the release of a challenging and thought-provoking two-volume book series titled Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Containing over 800 pages of detailed research, the author examines these claims through careful comparisons of Quranic, biblical, historical, and archaeological records. The reader will soon discover that the Quran does not even agree with itself and is completely at odds with biblical and historical accounts. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, Volumes 1 and 2, are available now. After 14 centuries of blind adherence, now is the time for critical and thoughtful examination. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. And now, back to our show.
You see, earlier, Muhammad, when he did not have enough power, when he did not have enough men to help him to accomplish his cult, the cult of Islam, he decided to be soft with the infidels, to build a relationship with the infidels, to make a friendship between him and the infidels, just exactly as Muslims are doing here today in America. And that's when Muhammad thought to seek intercession from their gods, Allat, Al-Uzza, and Manat. So he read in Quran chapter 53 and verse 19, have you seen Allat and Al-Uzza? And another, the third one, Manat? And then Satan put in Muhammad's mouth the following words. These are the exalted one, whom their intercession is to be hoped for. And when the people of Christ heard that, they celebrated and they joined Muhammad. But then later, Muhammad changed his mind by taking these verses out of the Quran as he inserted the following verses. Do you have the male? And does he have the female? He here is Allah. This is unjust division. These are just names that you and your fathers named them. Allah did not send it down with authority. They only follow the conjecture and what the soul desires. And indeed, the guidance has come to them from their Lord. You see, that is exactly what Muhammad used to do. First give the verses which make the people happy, and then he exchanged it by the sad news which make people upset. Or sometimes he does the opposite. He gives the command of Allah. And it is so difficult. It is so hard for people to practice. So quickly Muhammad will have a special meeting with Jibreel and Allah and give new verses to soften the matter, to make the command easier so people will not reject Muhammad and continue to accept him as a prophet. In either way, the change of the verses of the Quran, the change of the command of Allah in the Quran is a great evidence that Muhammad was a forger, not a true prophet. And that is what we learn from our study concerning notes in the Quran as a revelation from Allah. And here is the reason why Muhammad received these verses from Allah. That Muhammad sat in his house until it was evening and Jibreel came to him. So Muhammad recited Quran chapter 53 to Angel Jibreel. And that's when Angel Jibreel asked him, did I give you these two words? Obviously, he meant these are the exalted one whose intercession is to be hoped for. So Muhammad said, oh, I said about Allah what he did not say. I forged the Quran. And apparently, from reading Quran chapter 22 and verse 52, we know that Satan used to corrupt the verses of the Quran. As here we read the following: "And we did not send before you any messenger or prophet, except that when he wishes, Satan cast in his wishes. So Allah abrogate what Satan cast. Then Allah fixed his verses, and Allah is knowing wise." And here I must ask a question to our dear Muslim friends. Can you share with me a name of a prophet or a messenger in the Bible who have the same problem which Muhammad have in the Quran? Can you share with me a verse written in the Bible by the power of Satan? Somehow, some prophet was wishing something for his people, and because he has the wish to lead them to his belief and to believe in the God of the Bible, somehow Satan helped him by adding the wrong verses to his writing. Notice the Quran said, every prophet, every messenger who came before Muhammad have the same problem. Let me read to you the verse again. And it says, "And we did not send before you any messenger nor prophet, except that when he wishes, Satan cast in his wishes." I'm sorry to say that this is simply a lie from the bottom of hell. There is not one prophet or a one messenger in the Bible who ever recite words from Satan. Instead, from God in his writing or in his teaching to the people. Not in the Old Testament, not in the New Testament. This only happened with Muhammad. Why? Because he was a forger, or because he was working with the devil, and the devil was influencing him in the recitation of the Quran. Similar to the advice of Allah for Muhammad to seek refuge before he recites the Quran, we also read in Quran chapter 23, verses 97 and 98 the following, and say, "My Lord, I seek refuge in you against the suggestions of Satan, and I seek refuge with you, my Lord, lest they come to me." Imagine with me, Muhammad is seeking refuge from Allah against Satan's, and he's afraid that they will come to him. If that is the greatest prophet, what did he leave for others?
And here we must ask the question,
if Allah is Satan, how can Muhammad seek refuge with Satan from demons? So for him to seek refuge from Allah, Satan, it doesn't make any sense. It's like a comedy. And now let me read one more verse to you. That is in Quran chapter 22 and verse 53. For there we read, "So he made what Satan cast a sedition to those who have sickness in their hearts, and those whose hearts are hardened, and surely the unjust are in far opposition." The great Muslim scholar Al-Baydawi interpreted that verse by saying, this verse gave us evidence that prophets could make an error and Satan could whisper to them. And before I share with you note number 7, let me remind you of the previous 6 notes concerning the revelation of the Quran. First, Muhammad used to forget what was revealed to him. Second, Muhammad used to rush, move his lips, move his tongue to make up the word of the Quran before Jibreel gave to him. People were able to seduce Muhammad concerning his revelation. Muhammad can remove some of what revealed to him. There is change in the verses of the Quran, and Satan had a great role of that change in the Quran. And finally, note number 7, the erase and the proof of the descendants of the verses of the Quran. And that will lead us to read Quran chapter 13, verses 37 to 39. For there we read, "And likewise we have sent it down," it here is the Quran, "a judgment in the Arabic, and if you follow their desire after what come to you from knowledge, you will not have any friend or protector from Allah. And indeed, we sent messengers before you, and we gave them wives and descendants, and it was not for a messenger to bring a sign except by Allah's permission. For every period is a book. Allah erases what he wills and confirm, and with him is the mother of the book." First of all, we have to understand that when Allah declared to us that the Quran was descended in the Arabic language, that is a big problem. Because if the Quran is sent down in the Arabic language, why are there so many foreign words in the Quran? 279 words, according to my count in my translation of the Quran, foreign words. So that would destroy verse 37. The Quran is not an Arabic book, but it is an international language book, because we see in the Quran Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, Syriac, Coptic, Latin, and many other languages. Second, according to Jalalain interpretation, he said, Allah has the mother of the book, meaning he has the original copy of the book, which nothing can be changed in it. Did you hear what Jalalain said? Allah have the original copy of the Quran, and nothing can change in it. What he written in it, it will always be forever the same. And now lead us to verse 39. How can this be true, according to Jalalain, that Allah has the original copy of the Quran and no one can change in it, when we read in verse 39 that Allah erases what he wills and confirms what he wills from the Quran? Does this make any sense to you, my dear friends? If you have an original copy which cannot be changed, then you cannot erase or confirm any verses from that original copy. How can Allah erase and remove what he wishes from the Quran or confirm what he wishes from the Quran when it was written in the guarded board, which is a book cannot change or replace any words in it? And this will bring us to the end of our first session of notes concerning the revelation of the Quran and the Hadith. That is the end of our notes from the Quran concerning the revelation of the Quran. In our next broadcast, we will begin notes from the Hadith concerning the revelation of the Quran. And to continue our study of commentary on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.